Before we go to the Lord in prayer, I want to give you a couple of updates, and then we'll go to the Lord together. A lot of you know already, but some of you have asked, many of you have asked this morning, how is your granddaughter? Well, most of you, like I said, know this already, but they discovered that she also has leukemia in her spinal cord. And so the doctor would call that a relapse. And so they've tested her several times and given her chemo in her spine throughout the week, and we'll do that again next week. And then there will be bone marrow transplants after that. And so the road is a long way from over. So we would ask that you continue to pray for her. And Pastor Les had surgery this last week on his back. He is at home recovering now, but in a great deal of pain. Charlie Poulton has prostate surgery removal tomorrow. He has cancer in his prostate. And so, as Richard said, we learned just a day or two ago of Larry Hullab's brother, Gene Hullab, who has pancreatic cancer. And one other name that I don't think I had on here, a local fellow by the name of Brad Irwin. Some of you know Brad. He has a very significant cancer, and he's not doing well either. And so there are those, plus many other names on our prayer focus, including our family and friends in hospitals and the care center. And so I just want to give you a chance to go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you take one of those names that's on the prayer focus, or a family that's lost a loved one. But just let's go to the Lord in prayer for a couple of minutes. Can we do that? Just you and the Lord. Merciful and loving God, we come before you this morning with praises and thanksgiving on our lips. In spite of the length of the prayer focus and difficult news this week and surgeries tomorrow and another funeral this last week, Father, we come to you this morning with praise on our hearts because you are good, with thanksgiving on our lips because you have favored us in America. You have blessed us. You have taken care of us. You have protected us. Even in this church, we have seen your miraculous hand over and over and over. You have provided for us. You have healed. You have restored. You have saved. And so we come to you this morning, Father. We're a thankful people. Thankful for your goodness. Thankful for your grace. Thankful for your mercy. Thankful, Lord, that you forgive our sins. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is come to you. And the Bible says if we will confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we come to you this morning, Father, thankful for life. I pray for those families, three of them in the last 10 days I did funerals for, and there's plenty of others that have lost their loved ones lately. I pray, Father, you'd comfort them and encourage them. I do pray for these on our prayer focus and those that we have mentioned this morning that have these terrible sicknesses. And Lord, as one brother said to me during the week about his own brother with pancreatic cancer, Father, more importantly than anything else, we pray for spiritual healing, spiritual wholeness, because if we're not well in our soul, we're not ready for eternity. And so we always pray first and foremost, Father, for our community, our nation, our loved ones, even those who sit in our churches, we pray that we would be spiritually well. And Father, we do ask that you would touch and heal bodies. We do ask that you would restore marriages and encourage our young people, Father. So many things to pray for, but so many things to be thankful for. And so I just pray that your Spirit would continue to guide us in our worship service here, but not only us. Guide and direct churches everywhere, pastors and priests alike, Father. May we do your will. May we be led by your Spirit. May we bring you glory. And so, Father, we've come to worship you, and so speak to us as we do, as we worship you. May our hearts and ears be open and receptive and attentive to the Holy Spirit of God. May you revive your church. Set the church on fire, souls on fire, O God, so that we actually live and walk with Jesus, so that we are actually salt and light in our communities. And so, Father, I pray again, revive the church. Glorify your name. Thank you for each person here. You know their story. You know that what they're dealing with. You know if their hearts are heavy this morning or their hearts are filled with joy. And so I just pray that you would speak to them, touch them, each and every one, and guide us as we continue to look into your scripture and worship you, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Richard mentioned to you a couple of opportunities to take buses down to the state capitol Thursday to be in that prayer event with Franklin Graham. If you have a chance to do that, I'd sure encourage you to do that. There's a bus leaving from right over here, Northwestern Transit, on Thursday. Cost is really, really reasonable. And so if you have a chance to do that, I'd sure encourage you to take that opportunity and do that. Most of you know, Richard mentioned it, and I mentioned it last week, both the Lehighs and the Brobergs, and Sherry and I and Marie were at our conference meetings. And every year I come away from our conference meetings having been challenged by the bishop. And this year was really no exception. He challenged me again in my thinking and in my walk with the Lord. And he challenged us in three different sermons this time. And I come away from there with one phrase from each sermon that I wanted to ask the Lord if I could use that and build on that. And so I'm going to do that over the next weeks. Richard will be sharing next week on Father's Day. But the first thing that I come away with that just wouldn't leave my mind for days was it comes from John chapter 11. If you have your Bible, that's where we're going to be in just a moment. But is that phrase, and this is the title of the message today, do you want to be well? And the more I thought about that over the days that we were there at the conference meetings and driving home and the days after, I kept thinking about that statement, do you want to be well? And I thought about it in the ways that Jesus addressed it in this story. We're going to look at the story in a minute. I thought about the physical aspect of it. But I think what the Lord impressed upon my heart is, do you want to be well spiritually, and do you want to be well in the church? And so I'm going to talk to us about being well in the church this morning. Of course, there's physical aspects, and there's individual, personal, marital aspects too. But I want to address the church in this statement, this phrase that Jesus said. And so, if you've got your Bible, it will be on the big screen, but if you've got your Bible, I'd encourage you to follow along. I'm in John chapter 5, and we're only going to look at the first 11 verses. The story is a little longer than that. If you want to read the rest of it, I'd encourage you to do that. But we're only going to take a look at the first 11. Let's look together. After this, the Bible says, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these, that's the five porches around this pool near the sheep gate called Bethesda, in these porches lay a great multitude of sick people and blind and lame and paralyzed. And we would say, why are they waiting? Why are they there? Well, the Bible says, waiting for the moving of the water. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, apparently, he's going to elaborate on the next verse. But apparently, there were times when God, by his Spirit or an angel, had come down into Jerusalem and stirred the water of this pool. And those that were nearest it, who were sick or infirmed or lame, and got into the pool after it had been stirred, apparently were made well. And that word got out. And so, the Bible says there's this great multitude of these sick folks around there, waiting for the stirring or the moving of the water. Verse 4 says, "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." That would be incentive for the sick to come and gather at the pool, wouldn't it? Now, verse 5 says, "A certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in this condition, in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?'" Verse 7 says, "The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming,'" apparently his infirmity rendered him mostly immobile and weak and unable to get to the pool in a timely fashion. And so he said to him, basically, "Jesus, I don't have a support system here with me. And by the time I see the stirring of the water, somebody from this great multitude around me is going to get there first." That's what he said to Jesus when Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately, the Bible says, and immediately the man was made well, and he took up his bed, and he walked. This would be a good place for him and probably the rest of us to shout, "Hallelujah! A miracle had happened." And too often times, brothers and sisters, I fear that even in the church today, miracles happen and we are fighting off sleep. We are bored at the miraculous or whatever. But we need to give God praise and glory for the good things that He is doing. And He healed this man immediately, the Bible says. The man was made well. And he took up his bed and walked. Now, it just so happened, the Bible says, this was the Sabbath day. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." And he, that's him who had been healed, answered, "He, that's Jesus, who made me well, said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Now, the story does go on from there, but I'm going to stop there. You can read through that. It's a few more verses. It's a good story. I want to stop there, and I want to talk about this phrase, "Do you want to be made well?" One of the two quotes that I'm going to repeat from our bishop this last weekend, one of them said this, "If we could do an X-ray of the body of Christ, the pictures would not be encouraging." In other words, if we look deep into the heart of the church, an X-ray, you know what an X-ray looks like? It reveals a broken bone, or it reveals an enlarged heart, or lungs that are damaged. And our bishop suggested to us in this last week, if we could do an X-ray of the body of Christ, the picture would not be very encouraging. In other words, there is brokenness, there is hurt, there is damage. He said, just per our denomination, 51% of the Free Methodist churches are in significant decline or plateaued. That's just over half are getting smaller. Now, I know when I look at statistics, I see that the statistics from some churches are growing and many are plateaued and declining. That's what he means when he said, if we could do an X-ray of the church, the picture would not be encouraging. And that's why I've been thinking over these last days of the statement that he said from here, comparing that to the statement that Jesus said, "Do you want to be well?" And my heart and my mind has been thinking, I want the church to be well. Don't you? I want the church to be well. The church, by the way, is believers. It's not a denominational thing, it's a Jesus thing. The church, according to the New Testament, is believers and followers of Christ. And further, the second quote that I want to quote him, he said, churches in the United States of America need help and treatment and healing, but we may not be able to see or understand that we actually need the help. Is that possible? I think it is. I think sometimes we get down this pathway called life, whether it's an individual or in marriage or at the job or in the church or in America, and I think it's quite possible we are not able to see or understand that we actually need help. I think that's possible. I know it's possible. I see it all the time. And in this story, Jesus asks the man who had been sick for 38 years. Seems like a silly question, doesn't it? You want to get better? Do you want to be made well? 38 years. Do you want to be made well? And I've been thinking about ever since the bishop challenged us with that statement, we may not be able to see or understand that we need help. Is it possible, brothers and sisters, that the church in America today, we've done some things so long, or we've done things a certain way for so long, we don't even know what well is? Is that possible? I know it's possible in individual lives. I've seen it. Perhaps I've been guilty of it myself. And so I ask us this morning, in the statement, do we want to be well? Do we want to be made well in the church? Is it possible that the church in North America and perhaps around the world, but certainly here, that we've done some things, whether they're right or wrong, we have done them and we've done them in a certain way. Is it possible we don't even know that what well really is? You say, Jim, how do we tell? One of the ways is to line up. Does my life line up with Scripture? I love the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Does my life line up with the Sermon on the Mount? Because that's what Jesus said believers should live like. Loving our neighbors, yes. How about loving our enemies? That's what he said. That's what he said. How about lust? He had all these statements in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he said, you have heard it said, but I tell you. And so we can tell if we're well, if our lifestyle individually, maritally, or in the church lines up with some of the teachings of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I also have been wondering over the past few days, is it possible that in the church when we have an offer from Jesus the Christ to be made whole or to be made well again or to be made more healthy than we are now, is it possible that we start making excuses why we cannot be made any different? Is that also possible? I've been asking myself. I think it is. There were sick people all over that area. You saw from John chapter 5, it said there was a great multitude of people, infirm people of all manner. And Jesus picked this man and asked him simply, do you want to be made well? Friends, I really believe, and I don't know if the bishop said this or not, but he certainly implied it. I believe, too, that the Lord Jesus Christ is asking the church the same thing. Do you want to be well in America or not? I believe he's asking the church that today. Let me ask you to think about this to stir your senses for a moment. If the Lord were to come to you and indicate to you, maybe you have a physical infirmity like this man. If the Lord were to come directly to you and say, do you want to be made well? Wouldn't we cry out, yes! Wouldn't we? Work with me here. I know it's warm. Don't fall asleep on me yet. We ain't done. If I could cry out on behalf of God, which I have hundreds of times on behalf of my granddaughter, and God said, do you want her to be well? I would say, yes, emphatically yes. Pastor Les, who just went through back surgery, who has suffered for decades with rheumatoid arthritis, if God would come to Pastor Les and say, do you want to be well? He would say, yes. And Dan, who just had quadruple bypass surgery, if God come to him and say, you want to be well, Dan would say, yes, and Charlie's going under surgery tomorrow. And there's 100 other circumstances in our midst, even today. If God would come to us physically and he would challenge us with a physical challenge of, do you want to be made well? Nobody would say no. I like it this way. And he's speaking to the church, I believe, the same way. Do you want to be well in America? Do you want to be well in the Church of America? The man who was infirm for 38 years really saw no way to be made well. You know what I'm saying? You saw the story, right? Humanly speaking, he really saw, unless the water was going to get stirred 30 or 40 times that day, which apparently it hardly ever got stirred at all, but unless it got stirred 30 or 40 times that day, humanly speaking, this infirmed man, this sick man, saw no humanly way of ever being well. And I wonder if that's how we feel in America. Even us in the church, we're never going to be well. That's what he felt. He saw no possibility. After all, these other people that were lying here or standing here or sitting here, whatever they did, some of them were much closer to the pool. Some of them had their own support system. They were there with them in case the pool should get stirred. They're going to help them in there. And so he saw all these other opportunities for people that were closer to the water to get well, and he saw no opportunity to ever be made well. And I guess when you think about it, humanly speaking, there wasn't any way that he was ever going to be made well. But then entered Jesus. Amen? Sometimes we're walking this pathway called life thinking there's no way to ever be well. Then entered Jesus. He came and died on the cross so humanity could be well. He came and died on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. Humanity wasn't well. Then entered Jesus. People of God, America needs to be well. I've been talking over the course of these weeks from Isaiah and Jeremiah and other places. Isaiah reminded us from the top of our head to the sole of feet, the nation of Israel was sick. It was not well as a nation. And we are not well as a nation today. Our young people are killing themselves at alarming rates. We can't figure out what's up and what's down anymore. It's whatever. Right is what you make it and wrong is what you make it. If you're not right and wrong with anything, well, nothing's right and nothing's wrong. I just read an article last night that in Oregon on Friday, a judge declared this individual who didn't want to be quantified or qualified as a man or a woman, a judge ruled in their favor. You don't have to be either one. You be whatever you want. They got a term for that too. We're confused. We're struggling. We're not well. My question today for the church, followers of Jesus, denominations aside, followers of Jesus in this church and all across this great nation, do we really want to be well? I fear too often times we're like the man who saw only in human ways. He saw an impossibility to be ever made well. And I fear too often time we restrict God, and when he calls upon the church in North America today and asks us, do you want to be made well? I fear too often times we're just like the man and said, I don't think it's possible. After all, look at the leader we got in the White House, or look at the leader we got in the governor's house, or look at the leader we got in the mayor's house, or we make excuses, and we tie the hands of God. We may argue, well, I'm doing okay, so I guess if I'm okay, everybody must be okay. Or we may argue and think that all is well with me, so why worry about the next person? And I'm called to memory over and over and over this statement, do you want to be made well? And I'm also reminded of our bishop's statement, if we could do an x-ray of the body of Christ, the pictures would not be very encouraging. We may come up with all kind of excuses. It's a long way to the water. There's a lot of people between me. And of course, those were his excuses, and they weren't excuses, they were reality. And we may come up with our own reality, but we forget to include Jesus. When Jesus told this man, in essence, rise, take up your bed and walk, I think, you know what he was telling him? Stop making excuses and obey. Get up and follow Jesus. Friends, listen to me. We in America and we in the North American church cannot expect a different result, a different outcome, if we just do the same old. Nothing will change. We cannot expect a new result if we do the same things. I've said this for weeks now and perhaps even months. The church in America, we must repent and pray like we never have before. And call out to God on behalf of our nation and our children and our marriages and the institution of the church. If we do nothing, nothing will change. If the man did not respond to the voice of Jesus, nothing would change. The next Sabbath, he'd have been right back there on his mat. I believe that the Lord is telling the church to rise, take up your bed and walk. I really do. And I believe it's quite possible that we may not be able to see or understand that we need help. You know what the Bible says? God's not willing that any should perish. That means go to hell. God's not willing that any should go to hell. The Bible also said that God desires to see His kingdom advance in America and around the globe. And I believe that He's asking the church today, do you want to be made well? Do you want to see the kingdom advanced? Do you want to see lost souls found? But I fear, friends, that way too often we're satisfied with just sitting on the mat saying it's a long ways to the water. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think we're guilty. It's a long ways to the mat, Lord. I don't think I'm going to make it. There's a few people between me and the water, and I think they're going to get there before I am. Or we can make excuses of our government, or we can make excuses about our pastors. But I think it's time to stop making excuses and rise and take up our bed and walk, just like Jesus instructed the lame man. I believe that God is calling us to do that. I believe that God is calling us to allow His Spirit to move in us and in the church like maybe we haven't let Him for a long, long time. And I believe that if He's calling us, I believe that He is calling us to be well in Him first and foremost. So let me just say this, and I'm going to close in just a minute. If we're living in sin and our lives are being determined by sin, we're never going to be well. Never. And if we haven't been born again, that's a spiritual thing that happens when we repent of our sin and receive Christ as Lord. If we haven't been born again and become part of His kingdom, we'll never be well. And so we've got to do first things first, friends. We've got to get right with God through faith in Christ. A faith that's real, a belief and a receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ that transforms us from who we used to be to who He wants us to be. And so if we haven't done that, we'll never be well. But I believe He's calling the church to love our neighbor and love our enemy in a new way. I believe He's calling the church to go and make disciples, just like Jesus said in Matthew and Mark, in earnest, in determination. Will people reject you for telling them about Jesus? Will they reject Jesus? Yes, some will. That's their prerogative. God does give us a choice. But I believe He's called us as a church to love. And I'm going to talk about love in a couple weeks. Loving like Jesus loved. I believe He's called us to love so that they see Jesus in the church. And they'll want something that the church has because we're living like and walking with and shining like Jesus. I believe He's calling the church to be well in Jesus' name. I believe He's calling the church to be well for the sake of our communities. Because if the church isn't well in our community, how can the community be well in Jesus? It isn't going to happen. And so here's the closing statement that I want to leave with you. Do we still have hope? Or have we just learned to cope? The man on the mat had pretty much run out of hope. He just learned to cope. Help me down to the pool again today. Maybe there'll be a string of water, and maybe no one else will show up, and maybe I can get in a whole bunch of maybes. The man on the mat just learned to cope. He wasn't expecting anything, really. He didn't really have any expectation. After all, he'd been there 100 times before. Nothing happened to him. And I wonder if that's how we're at in the church today, friends. Do we still have hope in Jesus? Do we still have hope for the family? Do we still have hope for our young people? Do we still have hope for America? Or have we just learned to cope with no expectation in Jesus? I think God has an expectation. In the church, in America, in families, I think God has an expectation. The really good news we draw and conclude from this scripture, in verses 6 and in 8, Jesus comes to offer hope. Amen? Amen. Jesus comes to offer hope. The man didn't see any hope. And we may feel that way today for America, or your marriage, or your kids, or your parents, or whatever else. But Jesus comes to offer hope. And so I want to encourage you today, friends, trust Him completely. Surrender to Him fully. Allow His Spirit to lead you to rise up, take up that bed, and walk in Jesus' name. We're going to sing. We're going to close with a hymn. That hymn number is it's in your books. It's on page 66. It'll also be on the big screen. Let's stand together and sing. And while we're singing this song today, if you would want to be prayed for, there's several of us up here. We'll pray for you. If you want to just come to the altar and pray, that's okay too. But if you just want to stand where you're at and say, you know what, I'm not sure I've been made well spiritually, you cry out to the Lord today. Trust Him as Savior. Invite Him to take control of your life. Forgive you of sin. And ask Him to be your Lord. You just go ahead and do that right where you're at. And watch Him encourage you to take up your bed and walk. Take a moment to close in prayer. Father, thank You for challenging me through the bishop, Your servant, and Your word. Thank You for this word that we have looked into today. I believe it's a word for the church. And I believe, Heavenly Father, we should take that challenge seriously. Do we want to be made well? I believe, Heavenly Father, if we will say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, make us well, heal us physically, heal us emotionally, heal us spiritually, I believe Jesus will intervene. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, for the church in America today. I pray that You would revive her, revive the church, O God, beginning with us, beginning with individuals, beginning with families, beginning with churches. Revive Your church, O God, and so that we will be a people eager, anxious and excited to do Your bidding, to love our neighbors, to love You with all of our heart, but to love our enemies, to do the things that Jesus said to do in Scriptures. I believe, Heavenly Father, even though it may seem like the mountain ahead of us is insurmountable, I believe when Jesus comes and says, do you want to be made well? I believe He's offering to be well. And so I pray You'd help us, Lord. Help us here today with whatever we're struggling with, whatever we're hurting with. Help us to get right with You. Help us to be well spiritually. Help us to be well physically. We pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Go with each person who is here, Father. Draw them close. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Equip them. Heal them, I pray, to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.